34. Psalm 104, verse 34. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. It was as though David's mind could taste. Are you like that, children? Do you have that ability to think upon something that is sweet, that is delicious, and almost to taste it with your mind? Well, I suppose, in a way, David was tasting what he was thinking upon, but it was much more desirable, much more satisfying than anything that he could physically taste, that he could consume. No, that which he was tasting with his mind was the thought of God. That was truly sweet. We've been studying God very directly in this series in the afternoons. And we are now coming to the end of a short survey of the names of God. There were those primary names, God, in the Hebrew, El, Elohim, in the Greek, Theos. There is also that lofty ascription of God as Most High, or the Lord in all capitals, which renders that Hebrew word Yahweh, or I Am. There is Lord, Adonai, Master, or Almighty, Shaddai. And then we began to look at other names and titles of God, descriptive and positional names and symbolic ones. Now let us look at some other names and titles of God organized under three further headings this afternoon: conceptual names and titles for God. Fifth, operative names and titles. Sixth and last, relational names and titles. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. I struggled some trying to capture the right word to categorize the following list of names and titles, and landed somewhat awkwardly upon the term conceptual. Sufficiently vague, I guess. But what I have in mind, what I'm trying to suggest, are not so much metaphors drawn from things that we could actually look at in this world or touch or dip into as a running river, for example. But moving from what we might call the concrete to what we may call the abstract, certain ideas or concepts. And if you're still not very clear, that's all right. Let's get right into some of these names and titles that are more conceptual. They are ideas. But nevertheless, they're not so far up in the sky that they have no relevance or bearing to us, as you shall see. Hope. God is our hope. What is hope? Hope is that kind of, that extension of ourselves as we look into the future and we desire something better. The Hebrews, when they were slaves in Egypt, they hoped for the day that they would be set free and be able to go into the land of promise, the land flowing with milk and honey. But the Bible doesn't just say that God gives hope. God is hope. Jeremiah 17, verse 13. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed. All other hopes disappoint and fail, but God is the great object of the Christian who hopes. He alone is the one who can satisfy us with himself. We see now through a glass darkly, but then we shall see hope, our God, face to face. That is the promise, isn't it, of eternal life? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's a hope that will never disappoint. You've had your hopes disappointed, haven't you? Some of you have had them shatter right in front of your face into 1,000 pieces. And you knew that there was no glue, no effort that could ever bring those shards and shattered pieces together. But for those whose hope is the Lord, the weeping endures for a night, joy comes in the morning. Glory. Psalm 3. The psalmist says, my glory, as he addresses God. Love. Not only did God so love the world, not only did God, as it were, have love, God is love. And if we see anything of true love in this world, we are seeing glimpses of God. Fear. We are to fear God. That is a duty and a responsibility, and it is a great sin, friends, if you do not fear God, if you do not highly regard God. But in one instance, in Holy Scripture, God himself is referred to as fear. Genesis 31 and verse 42, Jacob here is arguing with his uncle Laban, who's cheated him many times, changing his wages 10 times. And he remonstrates with him and says, except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely thou hadst sent me away now empty. The Puritan William Googe writes, this fear has so proper a relation unto God, as the Scripture styles God by a kind of property with this title, fear. He is so transcendent, so wonderful. He is the fear of Isaac. Psalm 65, verse 5. Calls God the confidence of all the ends of the earth, closely related to hope. Not only does God give confidence so that we need not be ashamed and disappointed, but he is confidence. Do not place your confidence on things that are not worthy of that name. How confident are you in your retirement account? How confident are you in your skills and abilities? How confident are you in some politician? Some trust in princes, some trust in chariots, but we will trust in the name of the Lord. He is hope. He is glory. He is fear. He is confidence. He is health. The health of the believer. Psalm 43 and verse 5, the believer is very depressed and discouraged. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Would you be healthy? Make sure to have health. Make sure to have God. In Scripture, he is called joy, exceeding joy. Psalm 43, verse 4. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Help. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. He is strength. Exodus 15, 1 and 2. The Red Sea has just come crashing down upon Pharaoh and all his chariots. And the bodies of the soldiers are beginning to wash up upon the shore. And Miriam and all the women, they take their timbrels and they're singing and dancing. And the chorus rang out, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength. He didn't just give us strength. The Lord is my strength. Are you beginning to see a pattern here? The reason why God can give hope and glory and confidence and health and joy and help and strength is because God is all those things ultimately, purely, without any fading away, without any loss, without any need for improvement. That's who God is. He is my strength and song. My salvation. Continuing in verse 2 of Exodus 15, the Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. God doesn't just save me, God actually becomes my salvation. And dear friends, isn't that what happened 2,000 years ago when a virgin conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost? And salvation came into this world. He became our salvation. And though we could go on longer, we'll round this point off with the concept of reward. Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. God is the great reward, the great object of desire. we get to heaven, our reward will be Him. And what are you looking for? What reward are you looking for any efforts, dear friends? The praise of men, it is worthless. But oh, the reward of God that transcends all things. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. So having looked at some conceptual names and titles, now let us move next to operative names and titles. I do a decent amount of reading in 19th century Victorian English literature. I won't bore you with further details, but I regularly encounter the language of the operative. Now, it's not used in the same way today as it was then, but at that time, it was basically synonymous with what we would call a laborer. Somebody whose job involves his hands working hard, putting in 10, 11, 12-hour days. So what we mean by this are names and titles that work. Names and titles that generally end with the suffix in the English, E-R or O-R, such as creator, the first great work of God is creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God worked. He worked for 6 days, didn't He? God is the Creator, and so He takes that title to Himself. Isaiah 40, verse 28, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of His understanding." This term is used in Solomon's admonition to young men, young people. In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near when you will say you have no delight in them." Almost synonymous with this is the title Maker. God is Creator. He is Maker. Proverbs 22 and verse 2. "The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the Maker of them all." It embraces all different kinds, all different types. Not just the rich, but also the poor. Not just the poor, but also the rich. Not just male, but also female, and vice versa. He shaped all things. He molded all things. He is as the potter. And all of creation is as the clay, which He shapes and molds into vessels and instruments according to His pleasure. Isaiah 45, verse 9, "Woe unto him that striveth with his maker! Let the potsherd Strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, what makest thou, or thy work he hath no hands? Friends, remember that you owe everything to your Maker. You owe everything to your Maker. We sing in Psalm 100 the confession, He made us and not we ourselves. Boys and girls, your parents only indirectly made you. Believe me, it didn't take much effort. But who did really make you? There in your mother's womb. Who fashioned your eyes? Who crafted your tongue, your teeth, your ears? Who made your hair, your skin, your blood vessels, your bones, your muscles, your ligaments, your tendons, and all of them perfectly fitting together in just the right way? Who did that? Your Maker. Your Maker. Oh, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Worship Him and remember that you owe everything to Him. And especially young people, when you're so strong and so full of life, and it seems like you have such skills and abilities and you can impress other people, remember that you didn't make yourself. And the one who made you can unmake you. And we've heard an admonition, have we not, from Isaiah to those who strive with their Maker. As though a broken shard from a pot should fight with the one who had made it. It's folly. It's madness. You don't get in the ring with God. It makes absolutely no sense. What happened to Pharaoh? What happened to Nebuchadnezzar? What happened to Herod? These are men who are so powerful that they can make and unmake the careers of others with a word. But when it comes to being an object of creation, they are on a very level playing field with everyone else. And everyone, including them, will one day meet their Maker. Are you contending? Are you fighting with your Maker? Are you going against the design of your Maker? Are you living as though you were your own, as though you had made yourself and are self-directed? And are you ready to meet your Maker? Because you will. You will. Another operative name and title for God is Deliverer or Savior. Isaiah 43, verse 3, For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior, the one who saves. Notice, he is both salvation and the giver of salvation. He saves us because he is our salvation. He delivers. And that is really, that's the great story of the Bible, is God unfolding to humanity how he is not only the maker, but the savior of mankind. And he has come in the flesh to be savior. That's why he was, according to the angel, to be given the name of Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. And he is ready to save to the uttermost those who come unto God by him. Are you drowning, my friend, drowning in your sins and misery? Then reach out to the Savior. This one I find very sweet to my soul. Lifter. Especially the lifter up of mine head. When one is depressed and cast down, God lifts up the head. He is keeper, thy keeper, according to Psalm 121. The one who preserves, the one who guards, as we have heard this morning, just as the lampstand in the tabernacle continued to burn through the night, even so God is awake. He is watching. He is keeping Israel. And he will not let you go. And he will not let this world snatch you away. And he will defend you from the adversary, from Satan, who seeks as a thief to steal and to kill and to destroy. He will preserve you because he is your keeper. Rewarder. Again, he is both reward and rewarder. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Oh, dear friends, if you diligently seek the rewarder, you will get your reward. Seek him. But you must seek him diligently. And if you do so, he will reward you, because that is who he is. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Oh, Christian, persevere. Continue to fight the good fight of faith, because the rewarder is ready to put the crown of glory upon your head and to seat you with Christ. And to give you your everlasting inheritance. God is helper. God, through the apostle, tells his people, he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Wasn't it so sad when the Apostle Paul said, all have forsaken me. In prison, awaiting an appearance before Caesar. All have forsaken me. But the Lord never forsakes his own. He is always that helper. So be bold, Christian. Be bold. For God is your helper. And if God is for you, who can be against you? He is Redeemer, our Redeemer. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Last, Avenger. Paul warns that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. God takes vengeance. God takes vengeance. And so if someone mistreats you and abuses you, you leave that in the hands of God. You do not take it into your own hands. For vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him something to drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good, and trust to him who will repay in his time. Now, last, let us look at relational names and titles. And here I have only three: Father, Son, and Spirit. Scripture calls God Father, the Father of the fatherless, Abba, Father. He is, as James says, the Father of lights, the Father of mercies. Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those that fear him. And he is even full of compassion to his wandering children. Calvin speaks of the exuberance of God's paternal kindness in the parable of the prodigal son. He said that the father waits not till pardon is asked in words, but anticipating the request, recognizes him afar off, runs to meet him, consoles him, and restores him to favor. That's who he is. And so if you are far from God right now, know that his heart is large with fatherly compassion to receive you again, if you'll just come home. But we also read that he is in a special way the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We learn that God is called Son, that there is one called the Son of God, who is the only begotten Son, who dwells in the bosom of the Father, who is, as Peter declared, the Son of the living God, as the Father from heaven declared, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Last, and as we have seen this morning, the Spirit. God takes the name of Father, Son, and Spirit. The Comforter. The Spirit of grace. The Spirit of holiness. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. The Spirit of life. The Spirit of mercy. The Spirit of truth. The Spirit of wisdom and of understanding. above all the Spirit of God, of the Father, and of the Son. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. All of these sweet gifts are for you, if you will have them, if you will take them into your heart and mind and taste them and consume them and make them yours. Amen. Let us close in prayer. Please rise. O Lord, who has shown himself, who has revealed himself and made himself known, Lord, may we believe and receive and call upon that worthy name of the Lord. O God, we will make mention that thy name is exalted. Receive us now, O God, and send us from this place with thy blessing, even by the blessing of him who is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. We'll close by singing from Psalm 131, Psalm 131, to the tune Humility, to number 203. Psalm 131, all stanzas to the tune Humility, tune number 203. My heart not haughty is, O Lord, mine eyes not lofty be, nor do I deal in matters great or things too high for me. Psalm 131, to the praise of God. Please rise and receive the benediction. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen.